Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh. This is Wretched Radio. Please send your questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, and stories, and sermons, and pretty much anything else that's wretched to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. To the mailbag we go. To my surprise, and I have to confess, I am surprised. It's not to suggest people didn't comment on the YouTube, the Facebook, whatever that social media thing is. But I did not get as many emails as I anticipated based on our conversation about racial relations in America. I did get some. And by the way, everybody was cool. Disagreeing here and there, that's fine. But everybody was, you know, Christian. Which is really just a joy. We can disagree about stuff, most certainly. I do not act as the racial pontificator. In fact, just the opposite. I merely have opinions on a myriad of issues, but I did state the gospel is the key, and the Christian has the solution to the racism problem. Is it going to fix all of the issues? And the answer is yes, eventually it does. But people challenged that. They said, wait a second now, this guy has his neck sat on, kneed on, for 9 minutes. Are you saying all we're supposed to do is walk around and preach the gospel? No, of course not. You can point at that and say, that is what? We want to use biblical language. We say, that's sin. That needs to be repented of. I can have an opinion on things like what the sentence should be, what the charge should be. We can even have conversations, if you'd like to, about the difference between first and second degree murder. It's not going to fix the problem. This requires, it demands something supernatural. Furthermore, think of it like this. Perhaps this will help those of you who said, what are you saying? We should never speak out about these things? I didn't say that, but we identify them for what they are. These are sin problems, and the solution is regeneration. They need to hear that it's a sin, be convicted of that, repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ. And then God will go about the business of helping that person think through the issues rightly. The KKK member who's convicted of his sin, all of it, is suddenly going to start thinking through his superior attitudes a whole lot differently. But I would suggest to you that until he hears the gospel, responds to the gospel, I don't think you're going to persuade a KKK member to take off his hood. And you pick any one of these issues. And I think that for the most part, there can be some people who go, oh, you know, I never heard about that. Oh, I didn't read that statistic. That's interesting. I think I might need to alter my position. It doesn't ultimately fix our big problem here, which is animosity between people groups, which is sin. So think of it like this, and I'm just going to tell you in advance, this is going to be a big old mess. Nevertheless, I'm going to give it a go. You and I are going to go work on that car. It doesn't work. And you come from the repair school of Flobnartenstein. That's right, you're from the Flobnartenstein school of auto mechanic repair. And you believe that the best way to fix every single car is to hit it really hard with a sledgehammer, drop it to the ground, jump on it 17 times, and then put it back together. That's your school. I, on the other hand, I go to the Wharton Hooten Filiffen School, where we believe that the best thing you can do is to take an 800-pound magnet and attach it to a piece of metal, and just it just some we don't know exactly how this works, but it just it does something to the vehicle, and then you use nothing but Phillips screwdrivers to repair it. Now, we're going to go to work together. We're going to fix that car. How's that going to go? Now, I can say to you at the Blob-Nartenstein School of Auto Mechanic Repair, hey, let me teach you about magnets and what magnets do to metal and the metallurgy and how we've seen in the past that attaching an 800-pound metal to an auto machine motor, I guess we call it, how it actually has had some positive impact. And you might be persuaded and go, huh, I had to think about that. Might happen. But as a rule, your presuppositions, your education, your worldview is going to be brought to that engine. And you and I are going to have a very difficult time working in harmony to accomplish the end goal, which is to get that engine running. That's my point. Until you and I, until black and white, animosity against animosity, worldview against worldview, religion against religion, until there is agreement in one issue, the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have loggerheads. You just are. You're not going to fix the engine. Not going to fix the problem. Now, here's where it gets interesting, and I think this is in response to the people who say, well, what about all of these other issues? Are you saying we shouldn't work through these things? Issues of the KKK, Al Sharpton, the issue of the hip-hop culture, the issue of politicians who say really just shockingly shallow things. Can we talk about those things? Sure, but until you and I have agreement on how we're going to go about working on the engine, we're not going to do very good at getting those little things fixed up. But when we are on the same page, looking through the same biblical filter, we can work through them. Will it be instant? No. Will it be hard? Absolutely. On every side, it is so certain. This is one thing that's true, isn't it? I suppose there's an exception, and you might claim it for yourself. But when you and your spouse argue, you get into a tiff over this or that. My inclination is, well, she's always 100% wrong. That's my inclination. And guess what? She's thinking I'm 100% wrong because that's her inclination. And even though in a situation where we have a disagreement, there's probably somebody who's more wrong than the other. There really is somebody who biffed it more. But in the course of that argument, isn't it always been true in your experience that when it's done and peace was brought to it, even if you weren't the chief violator, if your heart was calm, and if you were being convicted of your sin, you would say, and you know what, honey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have talked like that, shouldn't have raised my voice like that, that remark was kind of caustic, I'm sorry about that. You bring something into a disagreement that's sinful. Can't we say that about this issue of racism? There's got to be sin on both sides. There's just got to be. You don't have a conflagration like this without two people goofing up. And these issues, to resolve them, are difficult. And they require a great deal of maturity. But in this issue, they require something supernatural. And they require that we are on the same page, that we are filtering it through one thing only, not through the Bible and critical race theory, not through the Bible and a Rush Limbaugh program, the Bible. What does it say? How do we deal with these issues? How do we resolve it? How do we see the issues? Whichever side it is. That is how we go about the business of bringing about reconciliation. It must start with being in Christ. Otherwise, you've got the Flobnarten Hooten School of Mechanics versus the Bliff-Neltenstein School of Mechanics working on the same engine, and it is going to be a hash. That's what I've been trying to say. We've got to be one on this issue. We've got to be loving one another genuinely because our identities have been stripped, and now we are in Christ. And we desire to glorify him and to act like him and to love like him and to be willing to talk to the woman in Samaria and to be willing to talk to the prostitutes and to be willing to talk to the powerful and be willing to talk to the fair. Why? Because he loved with great love. And we can't do that without him invading us, fixing us, and helping us. And that is why I said if we just think firing off salvos and memes and pew, pew, this and that, while they... most certainly can be discussed. I do not believe that anybody is going to be persuaded. It is issue after issue after issue that we have a disagreement on. We're not working on an engine. It's not just the engine of racism that confronts us. It's being broken down. It's 1,000 things that go with it. 1,000 things. Systemic racism in the police department. There's another one. Is that true? Go ahead, ask two people. Go ahead. See what sort of agreement that they've got on that deal. And then even explaining it is hard. Well, no, it's not systemic because a system can't be racist. It actually has to be the people in the system. And statistically, according to the University of Michigan, there are more people who are shot by this race versus that race than this. And nobody's really hearing, listening. That's just one component of it. And then it gets argued back. Yeah, well, you don't understand because you don't live it. Is there validity to that? Of course there is. Boom, boom, boom. That's just one issue, and there's about 700 of them. And we need something supernatural to invade, to get us on one page, one heart, one mind. Then we can lovingly talk through these issues so that we have increasing unity. This is Wretched Radio.
As they say in the old country, thanks for being here. We do truly appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. The question is, do you receive, are you receiving, or have you received the Wretched Newsletter? I believe that's how you conjugate the Wretched Newsletter. The Wretched Newsletter is this nifty little item that comes out every month. In it, you will find thorough, in-depth messages on a wide range of theological issues that face Christianity. You'll also keep up to date on all the happenings here at Wretched. And there are always things happening here at Wretched. Now, by my totally blind-in-the-dark guess, there are 17 people that don't receive the Wretched Newsletter. Don't be one of those 17. The Wretched Newsletter is absolutely free, and all you have to do is go to wretched.org/newsletter to sign up. Easy peasy. So if you have a moment and you're not driving, why not sign up right now? wretched.org/newsletter and get signed up. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Good news? Yeah! Lots of it. Due to the pandemic, guess who's been shut down for a number of weeks? That's right, Planned Parenthood. You know what that means. Women who are experiencing a crisis, they are fleeing to other centers to get prenatal help and free ultrasounds. That means preborn centers are busier than ever. That means you and I have an opportunity to support them, to be giving free ultrasounds 80% of the time. Mom chooses life because she sees it's her baby in her womb. And we need some help filling up the warehouse at preborn so that they can provide prenatal services and postnatal services. Month of May, $100,000 match. Not kidding. Would you please support preborn.org/wretched at this rather crucial time? preborn.org/wretched.
It's amazing, isn't it? With all the TV channels and streaming services, how little there really is to watch on television. Well, what's worth watching? So, with most folks stuck inside a whole lot more right now, you've probably run out of stuff to watch on Netflix. Well, look no further. Wretched has got you covered. Wretched TV. Visit wretched.org/TV for over 2,600 episodes of sound biblical teaching. You'll see live witnessing encounters, hear topics ranging from pneumatology to abortion to counseling, and hear relevant topics in the Christian community. Wretched.org/TV. So do yourself a favor. Take a break from the multitude of channels and all the streaming services that offer, well, really nothing, and binge watch Wretched TV instead. Visit wretched.org/TV for all things wretched. That's wretched.org/TV. Now, where's my clicker? If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called God and Savior. If Jesus were only human, his death could not have paid our debt. But Jesus is both man and God, able to represent us, yet able to bear the wrath of the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is it true that we are willing here at Wretched Radio to beat a dead horse? Yeah! It most certainly is. This is Wretched Radio, the subject that everybody is talking about, that you and I should consider long and hard whether or not we do. I think a good rule of thumb is, if I'm going to open up my Christian yammer, is what is going to come flying out going to be edifying? Will it be helpful? Can it be helpful? If not, discretion. Zipping the lip. That's a Hebrew word that means don't say anything unless you can make things better or at least attempt to make things better. If it is an echo chamber, it becomes very hollow after a very short amount of time. Gathering only with the people who agree with you and rehashing this and that over and over again, which is basically the format of Fox News, it doesn't get much done. Maybe it creates a lot of consternation, gets your blood pressure whipped up, but it doesn't affect much change. Are words to be seasoned with salt? Can they be helpful? And so it is, we would not keep talking about this particular subject, if maybe this could be of help. Perhaps would like to share with you a demonstration, a case in point of the point that I believe is really demands digesting and figuring out, because I grant you, it is not simple. It is not easy to deal with the issue of racism because it's a big subject. And not the least of which, and this is just one of the subjects, and this is, sorry, but when everything is black and white, when we filter something, it's probably, that's the way that we tend to process everything, we're probably going to miss out on something. For instance, if you were sitting down in a room, and you're white, with black brothers and sisters, and they said to you, you don't understand, because you have not lived in my skin in this country. You don't understand. What's your reaction? Now, I suspect, by the way, your reaction is different if there weren't black people in the room, by the way. But let's say that there were. What would your reaction be? It might be something really, really strong. I don't need to get, I just need to look at the facts. I just need to look at reality. Okay. That's good. We should look at the facts. We should take a look at the University of Michigan study. We should. But does that mean that somebody who has an experience in a particular culture, let's say, doesn't have any unique perspective on the situation? They got nothing? Really? Of course they do. Now, could it be entirely overblown? Might it even be 100% wrong? Perhaps. But I don't desire to go, well, let me understand this. And then conversely, what have you got? If you've got somebody who believes my experience has determined my opinion on this subject and what needs to happen, should they not be willing to say, hey, I'm willing to listen to you, Mr. Statistic Person. What does the study say? What does the document reveal? Because I'd like to learn that. Now, it may or may not be correct, but shouldn't there be a willingness to at least give something, some sort of an ear, a hearing to a different side? And the answer to that is absolutely. Having said that, what do we do when we are dealing with some of these issues that are really contentious and have some real implications for our families? Case in point, there is a group of people. I'm not going to say their name. It's not that I'm trying to protect them, but I don't want to go down that. I don't want to taint this. I want to deal with the point that I'm endeavoring to make. There's an organization that is finally saying, this is what we want. That has been the question of many people. We see that you're upset. We see that you're protesting. Then tell us, what would you like to see? And those answers have not been quick to come forth. So now this organization is saying, yes, we'll tell you what we want. And so it is, they released about 40 different things that they would want. And I'd like to share some of those things on the list. Not all of them, because some of them, most likely all of us would go, yeah, well, that's of course nobody should act racially, with racial animosity. Some in the KKK would think that that's good. But really, I mean, I think all of us would go, we agree, that's not good. Now, where is it? How much of it is it? That seems to be the debate. Nevertheless, we'd agree on some of the subjects. But here's some of the demands. No police. No military. Defund it. Just no police, no military. Now, here's a question for you. And this is my point. How do you have a conversation with that person? How do you have a conversation with that person who believes that the solution to the racial animosity in our country is to lose all law enforcement or to perhaps privatize the police force, as if there can't be any corruption there, because it's still human beings. You can build any system that you want, and you're still going to have sinners there. Nevertheless, how would you have a conversation with this person? This is my point. I don't think you are. This is where the just firing past one another happens. And perhaps you've driven down your street, and we're seeing people that are holding up signs that represent this organization. And most likely, that 16-year-old doesn't have any clue what this organization is about, what they represent, and what their demands are. And then you drive by, and you perhaps, oh, look at that kid. Look at that. Knucklehead doesn't even know what kind of a sign he's holding up there. How do you talk to somebody who would say something so utterly unbiblical? This is why no government? You mean no police? That's unbiblical. That can't work. Now, have a conversation about that. Go ahead with the person who believes that's the solution. Do you think you're going to make any progress? I don't think so. Until you're on the same page and saying, we are both going to submit to one manual. One book is going to give us our marching orders for this particular issue. Until you have that agreement, this is like any sort of international meeting of world leaders. There's got to be some basis. There's got to be something that we agree to. Otherwise, you just walk away from the table. And that is why we have these documents internationally to try to guide those conversations. Good, bad, or otherwise, that's a different issue. Without something to keep it, to filter your ideas, we don't have. This idea of having no police and no government is utterly unbiblical, because the Bible tells us that government is instituted by God. Even a bad government is instituted by God, because a bad government is better than no government. And if you don't believe that's true, how did you feel about the governments that said, we're just going to have the police stand down while buildings were being burned? You went, ah, yikes. What if it's my building? Congratulations. Welcome to a world of no government. That's what it looks like. And that's why God instituted it. And that is why bad government is better than no government. And so we're grateful, frankly, for any government, because it will keep some semblance of order. Perhaps not the way you want it to, not to the level you want it to, but it will. And so a bad government plays a role. It keeps bad people from doing bad things. That's its role. Now, this group says, we don't want that. Well, okay, so here's what I can do. All right, so what about when somebody does something bad? What's going to happen then? Okay, so what if somebody breaks your car window and steals your purse and there's no police to help you? What are they going to say back to you? Yeah, well, see, but we think that's a solution. If there's no government and people aren't feeling that sort of police oppression, they won't want to break a window and steal a purse. Now, you're going to go, wait a second. There's a problem with that. What is the problem with that response? It's unbiblical, because it overlooks the depravity of man doctrine. And so you're in such a totally different starting place. I don't know how that there can be any sort of resolution and harmony unless we are united in Christ. And by the way, if you heard anything in this diatribe that was intended to point at anything other than we cannot solve our problems unless we're in Christ, please just dismiss it, because that wasn't the point of any of it. I'm not trying to be insensitive. I'm not trying to poke or do any. I'm trying to use this as just one example that eliminating government and police is an impossible conversation to have if you do not believe that Romans 13 is the inspired, infallible, inerrant, sufficient word of God. That's my point. Now pick any of these issues. Sit down at a table with somebody who disagrees, and you don't have the Bible sitting in the middle of the table that you can open up and say, but here, see, let's, brother, see this right here? This is why this is this. If you do not have that, you will not have agreement. You will not have harmony, and dare I say, you probably won't have much tolerance, let alone much love. This is Wretched Radio.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text, an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the mission ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. Two Oregon churches had filed a lawsuit May 26th against Governor Katherine Brown's COVID-19 restrictions on churches. And so it is that 9 days later, the governor has relaxed those restrictions and churches are planning now to reopen safely for services. Alliance Defending Freedom represented Edgewater Christian Fellowship and the Roseburg Church of God of Prophecy in the case. They said the restrictions unfairly limited churches as opposed to other secular institutions like restaurants and retail stores. The ADF explained that under the restrictions, a group of 25 people could gather at a dine-in restaurant for a meal Sunday, but if those same people gathered in a church for worship, they could face penalties. Pastors of those churches could be jailed for up to 30 days and face a fine of $1,250. Ryan Tucker, senior counsel for ADF, said the problem is the governor is treating people in a secular setting one way, but if they happen to do the exact same act in a religious setting, then it becomes a problem. According to an OBP report, the church leaders worried that drive-in services and online services do not fully meet the biblical requirement to gather in person and pray. On June 4th, those restrictions were eased. As you probably guessed, those churches are planning to reopen their doors this Sunday with the prerequisite COVID-19 precautions. And according to reports from Oregon Live, this follows a previous lawsuit filed by 10 churches, the Pacific Justice Institute, and 21 others against the Democratic governor's restrictions. In China, the pastor of a church says police last month secretly installed security cameras to monitor the congregation's activities and to try and force him to stop preaching. Knock me over with a feather. Pastor Ma Chao of the Guangfu House Church in Guangdong Province told China Aid that when he was heading to a prayer gathering last month, he noticed three cameras, all pointing toward the main entrance. He was told police had installed them to watch the pastor and the church members. The cameras were installed several days after police had investigated three church members at the building. The church members asked the police for their identification and for the reason behind their visit then, but were refused. Police also investigated the pastor back in April. He believes the visits are meant to threaten him and to push him out of the province, according to International Christian Concern. Although Pastor Ma's church is an illegal unregistered house church, the Chinese government has used cameras to monitor legal Three Self-Patriotic Movement congregations, too. Last year, Bitter Winter reported that 155 of the 170 Three Self churches in one section of Huan City had government-mandated cameras. They are connected to a network allowing Chinese officials to monitor the Christians. And we keep praying for our brothers and sisters. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
attributes of God. God is a person. He is not a detached, impersonal force. He is a conscious, self-aware being with a mind and a will. He has made himself known through Scripture, and most of all, he wants you to know him personally. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
One gun do it. Didn't think it'd be prudent.
But?
Now I do.
There you are.
This is Wretched Radio. Permit me to perhaps put something on the table that could actually help our conversations regarding racial reconciliation. I would like to offer something I actually believe is practical, tangible, and very doable, and would like to try to make my point courtesy of two articles that I hold in my hand. Please note this caveat. Note it well. I am not using this as some sort of subterfuge to make a point other than the point that I'm trying to make. I'm not trying to use this to, oh, you're bringing up that subject because you just want to criticize that position. No, that's not my point. Not what I'm after at all. Please try to overlook that. Please set that aside. Even if I say something in an effort that to try to make my point that annoys you, dismiss it, please, because I actually think I've got something helpful for us. Can we do that? Here we go. Here's the article. This is an organization that is making demands for what they would like to see in our country for it to happen in order for there to be peace. And I'm going to read through this article to demonstrate how desperate we are for the solution I'm about to offer. Here we go. So please, remember the caveat. This article says, enough is enough. Our pain, our cries, and our need to be seen and heard resonate throughout the entire country. George Floyd's violent death was a breaking point, an all too familiar reminder that for black people, law enforcement doesn't protect or save our lives. They often threaten and take them. Stop right there. Here is what somebody who does not hold this opinion is going to say. I know, because I'll catch enough talk radio. I will catch enough news stories to know. Here's the response to this statement. Law enforcement doesn't protect or save our lives. Really? Really? I actually am a police officer, and that's what I do all day, every day. You're telling me I don't try to protect and save lives? This is just stupid, and I know a lot of great cops who try to protect lives. Furthermore, you say that they often threaten and take them. Do you know what the statistics are about this? Huh? Let me show you the statistics on this. This is certifiably not true. Okay, how's that conversation going? This article continues. We call for a national defunding of police. We demand investment in our communities and the resources to ensure black people not only survive but thrive. Right? Here's the conservative talk radio guy. So you would like resources. How much? What do you want? How much money do you want? Do you want more than what has already been offered through the LBJ welfare program? Do you know how much that is? How much more would you need there? Okay? How's that dialogue going? Huh? Can you just hear the bullets ricocheting off of just about everybody and the collateral that's taking place? Hold on. This article continues. Currently, we're fighting two deadly viruses. COVID-19 is threatening our health. White supremacy is threatening our existence. And both are killing us every single day. Turn on your conservative talk radio or get into your circles where perhaps it's all people who just really disagree with that statement and are downright offended by it. And if you put the people who wrote this document with conservative talk radio and the people who listen to it, and yeah, put them in a room, think we're going to get racial issues resolved and settled? Now that we have our stage set and the table is prepared, imagine this instead. One side, people who wrote this document. Other side, the people who are vehemently disagreeing or perhaps even offended by this. What if instead of the same old, here's the stat, Here's the problem. Michael Brown did that. Hey, you know, the police officer, did you read the toxicology report? Instead of all of that, what if a Bible were put in the middle of the table and you were able to say, friend, I desire to have love and reconciliation among us. But here's what I know. We need an arbiter. We need a judge. These issues are a mess, aren't they? And aren't you a little bit tired and frustrated of not being heard and not feeling like anybody's getting it? Are you tired of that? I am too. So could we agree to this, friend? This book is going to be our judge. This book is going to be the one that sets both of us straight, because I'm here to tell you I don't have it all straight. And I would like to lovingly say to you, this book would say you don't have it straight either. Now, how do I come up with that? Because the Bible tells me neither of us get things right. We're going to start in the book of Genesis. We see a little thing called the fall. Perfect planet, perfect little people. They make a perfectly horrible decision that throws the whole place into a cursed world. And you and I feel that effects. Perhaps no place greater than our brains, our processing center, our emotions, and our will all kafritz. So because this book tells me I don't get everything right, I sit before you today to say, I don't have this right. Not all of it. I think I've got some of it, but I don't have all of it. But I don't even know that I've got what I think I've got right, right. But I'm willing to submit to this book and let it judge me. Will you be willing to let it judge you? Will you be willing to submit to what Genesis tells us, that there was a fall and that your brain doesn't think right too? Can we start there? And then can we turn through those pages and look for all of the places that address the issues that you and I have? And I would like to suggest the place for us to go first is Galatians 3. Paul says something fascinating, that sons of God, starts out, I believe it's verse 20, maybe 25, sons of God are all of us. We're sons and daughters of God. In other words, we have a new identity. We're not our own. We're not a skin color. We're not a socioeconomic status. We're one in God. And now look, it gives a laundry list, neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, rich nor poor, male nor female. All of those issues covered, resolved, gone, because we're one in Christ. So here's where I'd like to start with you, my friend. Are you in Christ? Because if you say that you are, guess what, brother? We're one. We're one. Our identity is Jesus. Together. And now we desire to look like him, not to be identified by our skin color, but by him. And furthermore, we are called to love one another, to care for one another. Do I have an amen from you? If I don't, then might I share with you your desperate need to be in Christ? And then if the person admits that they are in Christ, then let's surrender to this and see if we can figure out how we can go about the business of loving one another. Let's flip over to Philippians chapter 2, where it tells us which one of our ethnic groups, because there's only one human race, which one of our ethnic groups is better. Because guess what? According to the Bible, brace yourself for this, there actually are better ethnic groups. Did Todd just get sick? Did he just say certain ethnic groups are better than others? Not that they're actually better quantitatively or qualitatively, but they're better because I esteem them as better, because I esteem you as better. In that sense, friend, you're better than me. I'm not second. I'm last. I'm not third. I'm last. I'm certainly not first. I'm called to be the last and to esteem you as better than myself. So guess what? I see you as actually better than me, because I'm called to that, because I know my sinful nature so well. I only know yours a little bit. I know my sins so profoundly. I esteem you as better than myself. May I ask you a question? Do you see me in that way? Do you see me as better than you? That might be a place where you could actually stop for the day and say, why don't we both go work on this, and we'll come back to the table in 3 weeks and discuss it again and see what sort of progress we've been making. And then when you start to deal with those fundamentals, you work your way through. What is the difference between race and ethnicity? Because the Bible defines it for us. There's one race, the human race. There are different nations. There's different ethnic groups, but there's only one. You work through that. And then you can work through the issue of government. You can work through the issues of rape. You can work through that. And then you can get into the KKK, and you can get into Jim Crow, and you can get into slavery, and you can get into fatherlessness in the urban communities. You can get into all of that. But if you don't have that book in the middle of your conversation, arbitrating everything that is said, pew, 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 pew. Maybe this will help you the next time you have this conversation. Hey, you want to talk about these things? I do too. As we do it, let's discipline ourselves. Let's be thinking Bible. What does the Bible say? Not my opinion, not my interpretation, not my experience. What does the Bible say? You want to agree to those terms? Oh, you don't? You know what? I think I got to go. You do? Oh, cool. Let's sit down. You grab your Bible, I'll grab mine. And let's make our way through this stuff and see if we can start figuring these things out together. Both of us together submitting to the Word of God as our judge, as the one who is going to determine what is right and wrong, who has it straight and who doesn't. And we both commit to straightening out what is crooked because we desire the same thing, to demonstrate the glory and the goodness of God by being united, whether we are black, white, rich, poor, male, female, slave, free, doesn't make any difference. We both submit. What do you say? That could make a difference in your conversations. This is Wretched Radio.
Uh-huh. And you didn't think it was worth your time to pay attention in geography class.
I'm thinking about a village that we visited called Pirasmani. It took us about 4 hours to get there, and the road was so bumpy that we were a couple of basket cases by the time we got there. But you know what? There were 35 kids waiting there for us. They have no church in this village. Talk about an unreached place, and we're now operating a tomorrow club in that place.
You and I could not find that place on a map of Eastern Europe, but tomorrow clubs do, and they go, and they bring the gospel, and kids are getting saved. They're bringing the gospel home to parents, and churches are being started or revitalized. Would you please consider supporting your own tomorrow clubs? $30 per month will disciple 30 kids in places you and I couldn't even find on a map. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Don't know about you, but during these hard and difficult times, I'm getting really tired of hearing about these hard and difficult times. So, for some much-needed distraction, might I suggest a visit to the home of all things wretched, wretched.org. There you can find full-length Wretched TV episodes, full-length, hour-long Wretched radio shows, and the Wretched Store for all things of the biblical resources bent. While you're there, you can also become a gospel partner. Without the support of our Wretched gospel partners, you wouldn't be hearing my voice because, honestly, there would be no Wretched. Your giving allows Wretched to stay on the air and to reach people with the gospel each and every day. If you are already a gospel partner, please know that we are extremely grateful for you. And if you are not, would you consider becoming one? Visit wretched.org or wretched.org/donate for all the details on becoming a gospel partner. wretched.org/donate.
Whilst you and I perhaps cannot do much work, God has not been sidelined by a virus, and he is working, and he is fulfilling his promise to build his church, even in Nepal.
So there are 65 Nepalese fellowships ranging between about 4,000 to 5,000 believers who worship the Lord every day. And we see conversion every day, literally every day. People are added to the church.
The Spirit of God continuing to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, regenerating believers, filling Jesus' churches. And these new believers, they need Bibles. Would you please participate in this great work and provide Bibles to new believers in Nepal and around the globe? It is merely $5 per Bible. How many could you send through Bible League International? You can do that at wretched.org/Bible.
Important dates in Christian history. 800 AD. Charlemagne, the grandson of Charles Martel, is crowned emperor by the Pope on Christmas. He ushered in the Carolingian Renaissance, which advanced the church, education, and culture in the Holy Roman Empire.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now then, if you'd kindly send your questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. We will get to the mailbag right on time. See, right now I'm tempted to go back to the subject because it's so crucial and it's so important, and we need to be so disciplined in how we approach the subject and submitting to the Word of God before we engage in a conversation with one another, to have a judge that separates the two of us, to right our wrongs, to correct our thinking. And I was tempted, for instance, to talk about the subject of reparations. I will confess to you, if you bring up the subject of reparations regarding racial reconciliation, it brings something up in me that is acidic. It's my immediate reaction. I'm just telling you, right, wrong, or indifferent, that's my immediate reaction. Now, I bump into a genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they believe that reparations in this situation would be biblical. How do I deal with that acid in conversing with them? Isn't it funny that there are some issues that are so emotional perhaps for you, so personal for you perhaps, that it almost causes you to not engage in the conversation with a fellow believer as if they're a fellow believer? There are just some things. And maybe it's because some of their other theologies aren't quite in alignment with yours, that you they say they're a Christian. Yeah, right. Okay, fine. Put a gun to my head and tell me, yes, then they're a Christian. Then fine, I'll admit it, they're a Christian. But we engage as if we're going to war with one another. Do you ever find yourself feeling that way in conversation? I know I do. And this is the subject that would do that for me. I need to submit. I need to submit to the totality of the Bible. And I need to submit. I'm going to use a person that I'm thinking about, who would say that reparations for the issue of slavery are biblical. I know this person. And this person adheres to the 1689 London Baptist Confession. Theologically on point, in my estimation. But this issue alone would cause me to engage with this person loaded for bear. Because I'm so persuaded in my mind what I think about this issue. That's wrong. That's wrong. If I'm going to say the Bible needs to stand between us and it needs to be the judge that tells me, slams its gavel and says, sit down, you're out of order. I better sit down and be out and get it straightened out. And then have this conversation about reparations with a brother, because I'm sorry, if this individual genuinely adheres to a statement of faith as robust as the 1689 London Baptist Confession, but believes that reparations for American slavery are biblical, then make him a heretic. Why would I engage with this person with a sharp tone? You can ask questions different ways. I know that I can. And based on the person, they just can be loaded with an edge based on the person or based on the issue. I can do it. You can do it. And the judge, the book called the Bible, needs to tell me I'm out of order and to stop it. And now I should be able to discuss the issue of reparations without perhaps giving an ounce. I need to be willing to, but I might conclude, nope, I've absolutely got this thing correct. Not gonna budge on this, my brother. I just think you got it wrong. Could I hug that guy and go have Dairy Queen with him? Which I wouldn't do because, honestly, I don't know what that milk, that vanilla product is. It's not ice. It's not cream. It's something mysterious. The point is, could I really have genuine love and affection for that brother? The Bible is going to have to straighten me out. It has to. Now, Are you willing to let it straighten you out? Whatever side you're on, whatever side you're on. Here's why I bring this up again, because I think this is so persistently hard for us to do. It is for me. That I've got to lay it down. We are not talking about essential issues of the faith here. How I see anything, how I interpret that 9-minute video, I think the charge should be this. You think the charge should be that. Heretic! Really? Really? This book needs to not just be the arbiter of my thinking, but it also needs to guide my emotions, doesn't it? And I need to be willing to say, I got it wrong. My feelings are not right in this. I've got to settle down, and I've got to be willing to actually genuinely listen. Not giving a point, that's an inclination that I have too. If I genuinely listen, I might be persuaded, and I don't want to be persuaded because I'm right. That's wrong. Now, not on essential issues. I'm talking about secondary and tertiary issues. I struggle with that. Do you? I need to have the Bible say to me, sit down, you're out of order. Zip, get your emotions in check. You love one another. You love that brother. Like a lot. Like lay down your life a lot. So get yourself in control. Then come back to the table and have a conversation about this. The document that I hold in my hand is talking about what some individuals would like for the issue of racism to go away in our country. And one of the demands is reparations. Now, I know how I react to that subject. I know that I would actually struggle with a brother in the Lord to have a fruitful conversation. How much more so with an unbeliever who would not make a biblical basis at all or a case at all on this subject? I know what the conversation sounds like. I know it. Because I've heard both sides of it. And both of them are pretty snippy, frankly. How could I possibly have a conversation that yielded any beneficial fruit with somebody who is not in Christ, willing to submit to what the Bible says about a subject that I feel so hotly about? That's my point. And yes, I know I've been banging the gong a little bit, but this to me is the essence of the problem. We aren't operating at this level, and we can't persuade, and we can't walk away in harmony. You know who was helpful with this? Vody Bachum. I believe I was with him in Los Angeles. I can't recall the location, but was talking to him. I think it was actually about racial issues. And I brought up a subject, and I said this brother, who professes to be a brother, but adheres to this thinking. What do you say to that, Vody? Can you have fellowship with that person? And he almost kind of laughed at me. Yeah, he did laugh at me. He goes, what? Let's just use reparations. Since when is reparations a test of orthodoxy? Really? When is an interpretation of what a bad cop should get for a sentence, when does that become a test of orthodoxy? Pick the issue. Doesn't make any difference. Free education, universal health care is in the list of the demands. Okay, there. Maybe that'll get your goat a little bit. Maybe reparations doesn't annoy you. How's about that? How's about wiping out all schools are free and universal health care for everyone? There. There's the demands of the other side. How you feeling right now? You're going, and you need this book to slap you down and go, calm yourself down. Get it under control. This isn't an issue of orthodoxy. If somebody who is a brother is talking like that, you need to sit down lovingly with the Bible in the middle of you and work through the issue. Not via politics, not via Sean Hannity, not via critical race theory, through the Bible. And you both submit to it and surrender. And even if you can't come to an agreement on it, you hug one another and you walk away in unity because you're in Christ. And just to beat the other horse to death, How in the world do we expect to make any sort of gains with people who are outside of Christ, who don't submit to the book? How in the world might I suggest all of us, as a very practical thing that we can start disciplining ourselves to do it? I'll do it. You determine if you need to do it. Before you get into the next thing, the next, oh, look at this YouTube video. Oh, this, look at this one. Oh, this person, look, check out this article. And this person who said, and yeah. Wait a second. Let's talk about this through the Bible. And if we're going to engage with one another, if we can't both admit that the Bible is going to be the arbiter in this conversation, you might want to practice the art of discretion and not even have it. Because most likely, you're going to sound like a clanging cymbal and you are going to be firing right over each other's heads. Can we all agree to perhaps do that? Submit to the word? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.